Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a Radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
No, let's not do that. Now Darren Smith.
I love it. Thank you, Damon. Thank you, Damon. Been a wonderful week here.
He's driving. I'm not driving anymore. I'm happy hour has begun. I'm not driving.
888-957-9570 is the telephone number if you want to call. Coming up in 30 minutes to the tweets.
Forward promote. Love
to
that.
The tweets. Tell us. Give us the rules.
Hashtag,
give us the update.
Use the hashtag to the tweets. The numeral. Not T-W-O, not T-O-O. The numeral to the tweets. Use the hashtag. You can hit me. You can hit Darren. As long as you use the hashtag, it all goes to the right place. Any question, anything that's on your mind, no holds barred, world of sports, world of world, whatever you got, no holds barred, to the tweets, 5:30, write it down, call a friend. Everyone has time to send a tweet. We'll do that in about a half an hour.
So no holds barred, no rule, no topic is off limits for the most part.
It's a family show. If you want to get your question on the air, it can't be too
risque.
Exactly.
We'll clean it up a little bit.
Yes.
We'll clean it up with the hashtag to the tweets.
We'll try.
With the number two to the tweets.
Look, what do we do around here? We clean it up a little. That's right, Madison Bumgarner. We clean it up a little.
That's got to go down in the Madison Bumgarner Hall of Fame quote.
That's really
all-time archive, right?
No, I mean, that's nothing.
I don't give a.
He gets lots more surly than that.
I don't give a.
I like the guys who just say what they want to say regardless of the microphone. You know what that does? Keeps the live mic out of your face. I think these guys know it.
Well, of course. Hey, it's not my job to edit this. It's your job to edit this. You figure out how to way to edit it. You figure out a way to beep it out when you're playing it on 95.7 The Game. That's not my jam, baby. 9-1 in their last 10, six-game winning streak, as we've told you all day long. They have put their general manager in a very, very interesting spot. We read you a quote from Farhan Zaidi a little bit earlier this month where he talked about narratives and the perceived narrative of having to dump everybody and anything that wasn't nailed down in San Francisco at Oracle Park. Maybe that's starting to change a little bit. Maybe it's not. That's why they're playing the next 11 games against the Mets and then, of course, next week against the Cubs. You know what I just noticed? The first NFL game, the first preseason NFL game, Damon, is August 1st. Now, that's the Hall of Fame game, which is always in Canton, Ohio. Presuming they can actually play it since they've had issues there with the turf in the past.
Yeah, they got enough rubber pellets to have the game this year?
Right.
Good God.
God, what a tease that was for people who waited forever to get football back into their lives. But August 1st, you think about that date, the day after the MLB trading deadline, just how the NFL always figures out a way to somehow steal the spotlight. Not that it has to even work hard to do it. All they got to do is put on a crappy preseason game in Ohio with a couple of rosters filled with players that you've never heard of in your life, and that will totally take away every last ounce of attention from wherever it is that some of these players get traded on July 31st.
Knowing that we root for laundry, why do you think the NFL goes out of its way to make sure, you know, so many undesirable players reach almost a protected class when it doesn't matter who's in that damn uniform. We're showing up by the millions to root for this team wearing that uniform. I don't care who it is. Like, you know, we see Tyreek Hill today once again. He's going to be allowed to play every single game next year. The NFL has looked into a serial repeated woman beater who has admitted to it. He pled guilty to beating a woman, and then maybe he beat his child. The NFL did an investigation. How about this? The reason why it's always hard to – let's put it all in the starting lineup introduction. How awkward is this?
Eligible to play because we determined we couldn't figure out whether or not he's the one who beat his child. Please welcome Tyreek Hill.
I mean, that's really what it is. We couldn't determine beyond the shadow of a doubt whether or not he really beat his child. So we'll see you week one.
Or whether or not he continues to be a threat to the woman in his life.
Which he said to her when she said, he's afraid of you, you should be too.
Pro Football Talk says, not only had the Chiefs reinstated Tyreek Hill, immediately eligible for all preseason activities, all training camp activities.
Also immediately
expected to get back to a contract extension. A negotiation with Tyreek Hill. Got to feel good about that one when you're sitting across the table from his agent, don't you?
If in any way, shape, or form I thought that he fell into the being done wrong category, I would have a little sympathy possibly for the situation. But where there's smoke, there's fire so often when it comes to domestic violence. And I don't know whether or not this woman really said, I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to take you and ruin your NFL career or not. And if you did want to do that, this would be a good way to go about it. The overwhelming evidence that the NFL says it has that has rendered them inconclusive about his status, I'd like to see it. I mean, I really would. I'd like to know it. And that's why when you and I were talking about the ridiculously sounding sour grapes legal pursuit of the ramification. Basically, there is someone in Louisiana suing the NFL not to recover any damages from the Saints' playoff loss to the Rams, but to just get the disclosure of how the NFL talks to itself, how internal memos are sent back and forth, how officials really are evaluated or told, you can't do that again. If we were ever to see the real light on how the sausage is made in this league, I don't know if that would lead us to liking it more or less, Darren. I know everything else has led to kind of us liking it less.
I'm not a legal analyst, as you know, Damon Bruce, but I would tell you I don't love this lawyer's chances at trying to find disclosure from a private industry like the NFL. Just my own two cents. It's been 20-something years since I was in college taking Intro to Law 101. But I don't like that team. I don't like that lawyer's chances.
And I don't know who this lawyer is, but I can promise you the NFL has better and more. Well, like, who's ever the one dude suing the NFL?
Yeah.
How many dudes and dudettes with law degrees do you think the NFL has on its roster?
Of course. And how long can they tie you up in court and just delay to the point where you're no longer interested? So Terrell Owens, one of 95.7 The Game's insiders, was on Joe Lowe and Dibs this morning. Interesting guy. I think we all would agree. Whatever your opinion is on Terrell Owens, I think we all would agree. He's a pretty interesting cat. When he speaks, people are curious to hear what he has to say.
I mean, he's out there.
He's out there.
He's doing sit-ups in a driveway. He's out there.
He's out there.
He's at a Hall of Fame induction ceremony 600 miles away from the actual, you know, place it's popping and happening. But, you know, whenever you can put a light on Chattanooga lookouts, you do that.
He's got reality television. He's got a Butterfinger jersey. I'll never forget that image when the Super Bowl was here in San Francisco.
I remember when he rolled up in his MTV Cribs episode in like a customized T.O. VW Bug.
Huh?
Yes, it was just
MTV
weird.
Cribs?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
MTV Cribs, and like he had a smoking room, which you could only access by a fingerprint. And I don't know. It was really weird.
Well, he is optimistic, to use a word that we used earlier this week, not only bullish, but some of the highest of expectations that we've heard so far on the 2019 Niners comes from Terrell Owens.
Anybody can be a favorite going into the season, but injuries will play a factor throughout the course of the season. A la, you just think about the NBA. You think about the Golden State Warriors. They're in the Bay Area. They were a heavy favorite, and then you saw with the rash of injuries what that did to that championship. I mean, it destroyed their three-peat. So those guys obviously have to manage themselves, stay healthy, and, you know, anybody can come out of the NFC West. I'm going with the 49ers.
Anybody can come out of the NFC West. That feels a lot more optimistic about the division than I am. I mean, to me, I would say that in terms of wide-open divisions, the NFC West is among the least open based on, I think, the Rams and the Seahawks could make preseason arguments to be representing the division in the NFC title game.
I don't think Arizona has a chance to come out of the NFC West.
I don't either, but they swept the Niners last year, too.
Okay. Are we going to say that that's a huge feather in their cap as some sort of indication as to where they're going in 2019? I wouldn't suggest that that meant much of anything. I mean, that was beating the Niners last season.
Right.
Which was...
But look, I don't think it's a wide-open division. I don't. I think the only way you could say the Niners... Are you know? I'm comfortable picking the Niners. Are you selling me a Russell Wilson injury, T.O.? Are you selling me a huge step back from the Super Bowl from the Rams and McVay and Goff? And by the way, we've seen that before. So, you know, Cam Newton went from I'm in the Super Bowl to I forgot how to play football. So it could happen to Jared Goff too.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't say. I look. The Niners winning the division. I mean, if the Niners win the division, Jimmy Garoppolo is the MVP of the league, Darren.
Well, then you talk about unbridled optimism after this season. If they go and win the division title.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
It's a party. It's a party. People would even go down to Santa Clara to watch that.
You think?
I'm telling you, it would happen.
Boy, you just, I love the consistency with which you rip that place. I do. I appreciate it and I admire it.
When you're right, you're right. This is Patricia in Walnut Creek. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, Damon. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
You haven't heard from me in a while. I haven't heard you say that word, but I'm not even going to give you power of suggestion.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say when you were saying how when your teams are winning and they don't even give you methadone to get over it, you move to another city. That's what I did. I was from Pittsburgh and still am, and I really want the Steelers to beat the Niners. Oh, my God, do I ever. And if they go to Youngstown and you're from Pittsburgh, it's Youngstown. But I'm saying just move to another city. I moved here in 1980, and what happened? The Raiders won. The Raiders won. It didn't make me happy, though. I was miserable. I hate those guys, and I hate the Niners. But go Steelers, Damon.
Thank you very much, Patricia. I'll tell you, if you really wanted to see your team in the Super Bowl, what you really needed was my sister living in your town. My sister had to move to a few different cities over the course of a few years and literally was like, in Indianapolis, Peyton wins it all. She moves to Denver. Now, all of a sudden, there's Peyton winning it all again there. She then moves to... Where was it next? She moved somewhere. Oh, she had to move to New England for a little while. The Patriots are right back in the conversation. I mean, it's just, if my sister was living in your neighborhood was having a Super Bowl party and a victorious one. It's a good indicator for, by the way, she now lives in Tampa, which the Niners should be worried about week one.
Right, which I heard Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, say that they are a sleeping giant. The week one opponent for the San Francisco 49ers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A sleeping giant.
So there, I don't have that sound, by the way. I don't call for it.
Nope.
The Daniel Jeremiah day where he says he likes the 49ers to improve more than anyone else, says that they have to improve.
They better do it quickly.
And maybe that improvement starts week two really are going to be that giant. Do you believe in Jameis Winston? Do you think he gets it?
I did. I don't. I did when he came out of college. I thought it was a no-brainer for him to go number one. Even as we were saying earlier with regards to Tyreek Hill, and not that these situations are exactly the same, no league forces you to question your morality and sometimes shelf your morality more than the league itself, than this league itself, and that was the case with Winston. I didn't love the way it went down in college, some of that stuff you could say and chalk it up to youthful ignorance and just being a tool bag. But then when it continues over into the league, into the NFL, into your professional life, you're showing your character at this point.
Absolutely.
It's a trend that's going to carry with you no matter where you are, college football player, pro football player, baseball player, whatever.
The Uber story was inglorious to say the least. You know where he really lost me? In that preseason game, and the only reason why I know about this is because Tampa was on Hard Knocks that year, and I think they're doing a preseason game, maybe even with the New Orleans Saints, and he was trying to have a moment for the camera, and he's like, we got to eat these W's, and he starts like licking his fingers, and you could see the entire team like, no one's buying this, dude. It's a preseason game. Calm down. No one's eating these W's. Why are you licking your fingers?
Yeah.
This is ugly.
Yeah, and maybe Bruce Arians is exactly the tonic that he needed for
his
career.
He's a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, a guy who claimed he would only come out of retirement to go coach the Cleveland Browns. As I've said a couple of times here, take whatever it is that they say with an enormous grain of salt. But Bruce Arians, who's done wonders with Ben Roethlisberger, who did great things in Indianapolis with law. He's, if anybody can get through to this guy, it's probably Bruce Arians.
Do you want the lock it up bet of the year? Under on the Browns. Playing with a target on your back is much different than, you know, we got a lot of talent now. It really is. It's much different, man. They've got a coach who is not proven. They got a quarterback who is not proven. They got an awful lot of talent. Odell Beckham Jr. could absolutely pull the fire alarm on things going well at any time. I don't know if that guy is someone that you can count on for a stable, growing young locker room. While the world is falling in love with one team, it's always a good idea to fall out of love with that team.
Their Vegas number is 9. We said it.
Under.
Niners, 8. Raiders, 6. You're going under. Under.
Browns?
All day on the Browns. Rookie under. Head coach?
Under. Look at it this way. They know that the Browns are America's brand new darling team, right? And Vegas, you said this yesterday. Knowing that we were going to talk about this, but you said that number is not representative of anything more than stimulating action.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vegas knows the NFL world is high on the Browns, and they set that number so low that, oh, I got the over is clearly the right bet to make, which means it's clearly the wrong bet to make.
So, of course, this is a double-digit win team. Of course, you look at it. Beckham, second year, Mayfield, leaves some of that controversy in the past that disappeared with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley and others.
7-9, written all over them.
You got not even winning the AFC North.
7-9.
7-9, 888. You can dial us up at any time. I just put it down, of course.
888-957-9570.
If you want to chime in, Damon Bruce, I'm Darren Smith. We're here
driving
at 6 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, to the tweets we will go. So send us in your thoughts.
We take it to the tweets.
We take it to the tweets.
What we did is we took the Doobie Brothers song, taken it to the streets, and we completely bastardized it and used it for an open that will haunt you. We will haunt you.
Well, we also have, I hope we have, a Tour de France report coming up.
Well, yeah,
between now and the end of the radio program
on
as well.
I'm not going to let you down. We'll save it for the end.
Okay, good. I know that requires an awful lot of prep work for you to go check out which stage
we're in. Learn how to butcher these names, exactly.
Yeah, of course. You got to figure out which stop we are somewhere in the Pyrenees or wherever we might be today in the Tour de France.
Before last night, when's the last time you had been to... Well, the last time you'd been there was probably AT&T Park. When's the last time you've been to now known as Oracle Park?
I came to the Bay Area a couple of years ago. I will tell you, I actually came up for a soccer match. I know your favorite sport, soccer, Damon, is something that I like. I came up with when Barcelona was playing 2 summers ago, I want to say. Oh, maybe
Levi's.
It was last summer.
Yeah,
it was last. Yeah, I've only been to Levi's. It's funny because I always see you ripping Levi's for how little charm it actually has. And I've been there about 5 times. All 5 times I've been there for 5 different soccer matches. Totally. So I know you haven't been there for that, but I always appreciate it through the prism of, yeah, I've been to that place a handful of times, whether it was the Copa America or the ICC. But I think it was 3-4 years ago I came up to see Barcelona, Manchester United, and I went to the Giants and the A's, the Bay Series at AT&T then before it was Oracle.
Okay, so you're looking at that ballpark. You saw Alex Dickerson last night.
I did.
Poke a ball that is 418 feet traveling in the air, home run anywhere else in Major League Baseball. Here it's a stand-up triple. Do you like that?
Well, obviously the Giants don't like that since I didn't realize that they were changing the dimensions.
Well, that's still not completely committed to, but it feels like that's the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in broadcasters are planting seeds of talking points they want fans to start embracing, Kruk and Kipe, there's not a ball that gets hit out there anymore where they don't say something about You know, bullpens could be out there next year, or next year that could be a home run.
Huh.
And I do look at that ballpark. I think it's beautiful and perfect in so many ways. There's other players that make it play small. Bochy looks at that ballpark and he sees three World Series won via pitching in there.
Torture. Well, all I can tell you is from experience, you know, when Petco Park was first designed, which was a little bit later than Pac-Bell, AT&T, Oracle, the designer or the person who came up with the idea of making a really super deep right center field, the idea was that the triple is the most exciting play in baseball. Now, again, that's one person's opinion. I'm not saying that that's my opinion or your opinion. I don't know that we voted on that.
I would like to agree with you, but I have a caveat.
Okay.
A bang-bang play at any base is among the more exciting plays in baseball. Getting, you know, dirt in the skirt and go ahead and 100% sliding in head first, Pete Rose style third base. Yeah, that is awesome. A stand-up triple is not that triple.
So when Petco's dimensions changed, we said, what is this?
Right.
You know, why? If you built it with this in mind, and then the roster had a bunch of home run hitters, which complicated everything, but it took away from one of the unique quirks, as we were saying earlier, about baseball, its quirkiness. It took away from the quirkiness of the park. I still kind of dig it. I'm with you. Every last trend in the game is about power, launch angle, hard baseballs. We can have one park unique that doesn't have to look like Coors Field on an average Thursday night. We can have one of them.
I agree. Now, you might say if you had to be here every single day, you wouldn't want the one of them to be yours.
True.
And at what point does it clearly work as a disadvantage for Farhan to sell to players and free agents? First of all, you're dealing with California state tax.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're dealing with just the San Francisco cost of living. And you're also dealing with a 24-foot-high wall that goes out to 420 feet in your power alley. And I just think that it scared away enough hitters where the Giants do need to reexamine it. But that ballpark has also served you so well, the Giants should not forget that. And the whole, well, the Cubs finally moved the bullpen to Wrigley and now everyone has to do it. Really? I mean, yeah, I understand a guy did get hurt. Mack Williamson's career might have tripped over the bullpen here and he might not be the same guy ever again. But that's such a one-off. It's so rare. I don't know. I see the park as it is and think, God, it's perfect. I also see Alex Dickerson plop one on the fly 418 and think, that should be a home run.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm caught in between. I wouldn't put bullpens out there. I keep the bullpens where they are and just say, screw it. I think it would be one of the cooler places to sit in all baseball.
To sit
you could have
over the bullpens?
You could have a stacked, tiered like place for fans to sit out there, like a party porch or something that could be pretty damn cool.
Well, if you had zero success here, and I mean, is it considered part of the reason why Harper wouldn't come or Stanton wouldn't waive his no trade was because it's just harder to hit in this ballpark?
I think it matters.
Yeah,
I think it especially matters. You would think that a player of Bryce Harper's ilk would look at the ballpark and say, well, whatever concerns you have don't apply to me. I actually think it works opposite direction. If you think you're a significant player who's going to be putting up significant numbers where people will be remembering your career and measuring it against the greats, you don't want your career numbers retarded by a home ballpark that you think is going to be unkind to you all the time.
Yeah, especially, and again, with a little bit of experience from this in San Diego, I've talked to the different hitters who said you just have negative thoughts when you're driving to the park. You just know, especially early in the season, Southern California, nights where it gets a little bit of the call comes in.
There's something to this team's that whatever. What do you think was turning the Giants offense into the Giants offense? Their confidence on the road or the altitude on the road? Of course, you know, what is that? I do think this team looks at their own home ballpark and they fear it as much, if not more, than most of the opponents that are coming into the ballpark that should be intimidated by it. It's really weird. It's really, really weird.
Yeah, I've heard players say that. I'm sure you've heard the same thing. And it was Adrian Gonzalez, who played there for a handful of seasons, who 1 year hit 40 home runs. who said it's just the mental grind. If you drive to the park and you try not to think of what it's going to be like in April or in May, and you can't help but let those negative thoughts creep into your brain as you're getting set to drive in whatever park we're talking about.
Can I ask you if you can read this, actually? Because we were just handed notes with the kind of penmanship that makes you really wonder about
I got the gist
future.
Of it.
You got the gist of it?
I got the gist
okay.
of it.
Okay, because I'm looking at something and I...
It's written like somebody who predominantly communicates via text message or
yeah,
social media.
This looks more like a food order than it does like ideas about a radio show, but okay.
Yeah, I think I got the gist of it.
Okay.
So as long as since I'm in control, as long as I've got the gist of what it said.
Spencer's taking full credit for this. He said, that's my handwriting. Yeah, we know. You're the one who walked it in here, Spencer. I was trying to leave you off the hook, but you want to go ahead and crucify yourself. Have at it. Here's your hammer and nail, son.
He just wants to out himself right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
About
he's proud of
penmanship.
Is he proud of this?
Yeah. If you hadn't won, though, back to the whole triples thing, if you hadn't won in that park or proven that you could win in that park, unless there's real reason to believe. Personally, it sounds like Harper wanted to go somewhere where he could play for 13 years and $330 million. A little bit more than it was the dimensions of a baseball park. But
oh, money does talk. There's no doubt about it. But I do think it matters a little. It matters a little, and the more significant you are, instead of thinking I can overcome it, I think it creates more pause than anything else. It really does. Because that wall, that 24-foot-high wall, by the way, 24 for Willie Mays, mm-hmm. that 24-foot-high wall out there in right field, Darren, it is... There is no one who has ever hit balls out of there with any regularity, not a single left-handed hitter, but the greatest left-handed power hitter of all time. Barry made that park look small. He would flip his wrists and get balls out of there. Andres Galarraga would basically have to put his lower back in the hospital to get one out of there. I mean, like, there's only one dude who ever made it look easy. And we all know that he was not like the other guys, you know, for a lot of reasons, for a lot of reasons.
But the flip side is, though, you can also, you know, as a strategy, you can increase value on pitching.
And they did.
And then not that Madison Bumgarner wouldn't be great anywhere in Cincinnati or in Colorado. I would take my chances with Madison Bumgarner or Kane or Lincecum or, you know, pick whomever it was from any of the salad days. But you can take relievers. You can take middling relievers that you pick up, maybe off waivers, and you can turn those pieces, you can turn them into real assets out there on the trade market. I've seen it and you've seen it.
I say salad days too, and I don't really like salad. You'd think we'd call them like the steak days, the really good days, the meat and potato days.
The salad days.
Why is it called salad days? 888-957-9570. Origin of salad days. It's a Friday. I'm bored. I'd like to know.
All right. Well, here we go. To the tweets is next. So any question you have, tweet us using the hashtag #2, to the tweets. But first, let's send it to a game day traffic report.
Yeah!
Woo! Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Get on your bad motor scooter and drive.
Is this me or you? I'm sorry.
No, I say, do it. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You're driving, baby.
I just got a text message from my airline.
Oh, is everything okay?
No.
What happened? What happened with your airline?
You have a spare bedroom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, is that what happened with the airline?
No.
I was about to say, there's got to be another plane to get you down to Southern California.
Well, yes, in about an hour, but I don't think I'm going to make it. But, yeah, we have a little delay. So, no biggie. Just a little bit of a delay.
No, a delay is a lot easier to work with than it's leaving now and you have a half an hour more of show to host. So, we can work around a delay.
I can work around it. I'm sure there's enough red wine up in this region to get me through and get me to my flight as well.
No doubt.
By the way, to the text line here, and I'm sure that has – does the text line – have a read with it?
No, you just text line.
Okay.
Text line.
Okay, to the text line. Do I sound like the no-cuffs guy, 1-800-NO-CUFFS guy?
I hope not. What a detestable... hey, how about this? Don't get DUIs, ever.
Is that what I... Okay, because that, Damon, is the guy on the radio with you, the 1-800-NO-CUFFS guy? Sounds like it.
No, not Darren Kevinoki.
You have a trained ear. Is that true or is that not true? Also on the text line, it was Madrid, not Barcelona. No, it wasn't. I know where I was and I... I know who I root for. Not that you care about that as well. All right, we're ready to the tweets.
Not everyone has time to make a phone call, but everyone has time to tweet. Tweet at Damon Bruce right now. It's Taking It to the Tweets. Tweets. Now, here's Damon.
We'll start with a question from Vanessa, who says, are you a fan of Big Little Lies? If not, what are you watching currently on television? So my wife likes Big Little Lies. I'm normally down with an HBO show because it's good product. I believe in it. Currently, watching nothing. Like, my wife and I are right in between what we were binge-watching and what we will do next, and we're kind of pausing because we know that there's a baby about to happen, and it's a bad time to, like, hi, you're a brand-new mother. You should start watching Breaking Bad. It just doesn't fit. It really doesn't fit together. But, no, I'm not a Big Little Lies guy. No. Are you?
I've not
HBO loyalist.
I recently, I will tell you, Damon, I started watching Game of Thrones in November.
Okay.
And I made it all the way up until the current season, just in time for it to start and watch it like everybody else did. But I didn't watch it for the first. I didn't invest a decade of my life in a Game of Thrones. I'm currently watching a show on Amazon Prime called Fleabag.
Okay.
I'm guessing you've
I've
never
not
heard
of it.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of it.
It's.
I'll tell you what I am going to watch next. It just hit me like a bolt of lightning because it just came out and I haven't seen a single new episode of the new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the Jerry Seinfeld thing.
Yep.
And what? He's got one with Eddie Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. You had me at Seinfeld and Eddie Murphy getting coffee. Like, I'm in. This is from Yosh, who says, what were your thoughts on the Lebatard rant? How about this? I know a lot of you don't like Nick Wright, who comes on the show. Nick Wright is the man who said the words, typed the words that inspired the Lebatard rant. And I like that the conscientious way to approach that subject hit them both. I agree with everything that they've said. It's a staggering place we now stand in the United States in terms of divisive language being used from the highest office. When you have nothing to offer other than fear, expect the fear to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the drumming up of fear, stoking racial lines only as like your official platform, it's so unbecoming of everything we stand for. I thank Dan Lebatard for doing that, and I hope he avoids any discipline because I think his fastball was true and pure.
I think it was sincere. I think that he probably will face some discipline, just knowing what we all know about ESPN and that platform. But I thought it was sincere, and I think you could tell that it was to the point where Dan Lebatard, if you haven't seen it, it's making the rounds on social media. It's not hard to track it down, whether you agree or disagree. I think he genuinely believed the words that he was saying, and it seemed like he was just tired of having conversations about whatever nonsense is not happening in sports this week, and he just decided, I can't be in this capacity and not say what's really important to
Someone's
me.
Like, can you please provide a little context? I don't even know what Dan Lebatard said that you're reacting to. What the president had to say about the four congresswomen who aren't white. What was it? Ship her out, lock her up, send them back.
Yep.
Like, it's just all sorts of racial tropes that drip over every single moment of this man's presidency. There's really nothing new here at any time. It's the same thing over and over again. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Stop falling for the old banana in the tailpipe. Just ignore the man and show up to vote. That's all you got to do to change the situation. Have you seen Stranger Things 3? What do you think?
I've not seen any of Stranger Things.
I did. I just finished that, too, with the wife. I liked it more than season 2. But the show was better when they were adorable kids and not, like, awkward teenagers. And it's time for you. Like, Stranger Things can now end.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
It's on the list. I think Stranger Things is on the list. I recently got through Ozark, which is something I wasn't there from the get-go on.
Someone's saying Fleabag's amazing.
Yeah, it's good. It's solid. Again, it's my wife doesn't understand why I like it. I think it's a lot of female humor, but it's from a female perspective. But I think there's quality writing to the show.
Have you seen Mindhunters?
Yes.
That's the FBI profilers?
Yep. Oh, the opening 10 minutes of that.
Really, really good.
Is incredible. What happens to the first person in that first scene?
Oh. Oof. Yeah, that's a sucks you in right away, shall we say.
Yes.
All right, let's go to have you watched any of the Panthers on All or Nothing? Thoughts? The show is great. I don't even know what's All or I don't know what they're talking about at all. I'm sorry.
I think All or Nothing is another Amazon series. They've done different sports documentaries where they follow. It's very.
Oh, is it Carolina Panthers All or is it like Amazon Prime Hard Knocks?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, okay. I think that's pretty much exactly what it is. And they've followed different football teams and international soccer teams, etc. Manchester City was one of the subjects. I want to say there was a college football team that was the subject of one of the All or Nothing series, but they're pretty well done.
Damon, who is with you today? Who is with me today has been with me all week, and I just found out you're going to be here at the beginning of next week, too.
Correct.
Awesome.
Boy, there's a great vacation policy here at 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we take time off and come back recharged. We'll see if Ray follows actual mandate of the vacation. But Darren Smith is from San Diego. He has been my San Diego go-to guy ever since I hit the West Coast. I have usually been his Northern California go-to guy. And because of, let's just say, one of the oddest endings to a radio station, not a man's career, not a man's show, but to a station itself, he is available for a little work. And we're going to go ahead and take full advantage of that. I got to go back to taking it to the tweets. This is a serious question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be fun and lighthearted, but we said anything. Here we go. Serious question. Why do you think domestic abuse is so rampant in the NFL? During the steroid era in baseball, it felt like that was a little bit more of an issue in baseball. Do you think the two may be related?
It's such an aggressive sport. This is only a theory. I'm not a psychologist. It's just my theory, but it's such an aggressive sport played by aggressive alpha human beings. I don't know that it's chemically induced, though it wouldn't surprise me if there was some connection there between chemical enhancement and domestic abuse, but it's such a physical, hair on fire, aggressive sport that you wonder sometimes. We've all met different football players, NFL players in our lives, and I know one of the common questions I've asked them, Damon, is how do you go from that on the field to going home and being dad? How do you go back to just being a guy who's a neighbor, who's a dad, who's a husband? How do you become a killer out there on the field and just a regular dude when you're not there? And I would think that that's hard. It's a hard thing to do, and to me, again, my own personal theory, some guys can't turn that off.
Steroids absolutely affect a person's chemical balance, and that could go a long way to determining how you act. I am in full agreement with you, Darren, that I think that part of football is a culture that coaches the thinking process right out of you. They want all of your motion to be instinctual, where you're not acting on thought, you're just reacting to what you see, and maybe that bleeds over into too much normal life. And I do need to say this since we're asking serious questions. The percentage of domestic violence abuse among policemen is at a higher rate than among the NFLPA. I mean, and I'm not trying to say anything negative about police in any way, shape, or form. The biggest reason why domestic violence seems to be rearing its head is because that's the story that travels the fastest on the internet. It's also a serious story that is shared in places that get your mom and your aunt and people who might not be sports fans talking about this topic framed in the context of sports, where they weren't talking about that game framed in the context of the box score. Not everybody cared about the Baltimore Ravens. Everybody cared about that Ray Rice video. And I think that that's what lends it to.
I also wonder, and I'm sure NFL teams have asked themselves this question, but do they do everything they can to help players out? Now, you could argue that it's not really their job to do it. I would argue, in fact, that it is, to give them a better support group. Now, if we're going back to Tyreek Hill, let's also remember we're talking about a history of this behavior, which led to him being kicked out of Oklahoma State. So this is pre-NFL time. Sometimes, I think sometimes in sports radio or in the NFL. Sometimes people are just rotten human beings. But I think in that sport, if we're asking specifically about that sport, because it's hard for us to sometimes understand, you've got it all. You've got money. You've got fame. You play the most popular sport in the United States. How is it that you risk your career? Well, you know, I think at times it's just, it's hard for them to have to play with pain, to get treated the way they play, to know who you have to be out there on that football field. It's hard for them to turn it off when they leave.
Damon, is Gianna coming back? That is from Bob. Gianna is coming back. She is on maternity leave right now. She is doing wonderfully. Baby is doing wonderfully. Family couldn't be happier, healthier. All good news. Love to report to you from Precinct Gianna Franco. And yes, we look forward to her returning. I believe maternity leave ends in September. I think right when football season starts is when she should be coming back. So yes, we look forward to having her, and we always communicate, talk often, and I'm just telling you that she loves you and misses you guys too. Absolutely, she does. All right. Let's see. What else have we got coming in here? What else? When are we bringing the D. Smith Show back to the Bay Area? Well, Monday. Let's go ahead and forward promote your return, a triumphant return to the Bay Area. Look at it this way. How long would your flight have to be delayed for you to just say, all right, I'm not even going back to San Diego. I'm just going to ride out the weekend right here.
Listen, I've got to go see the wife. I got to get a haircut, too. So I gotta get back for a couple of days, at least to sleep in my own bed. I don't do well, really, really well in hotel beds. No complaining here. It wasn't a nightmare. It just, I need to be in my own bed for a couple of days, see the wife, get a haircut.
A little bit of a princess in that regard?
A little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit. I you know, I'm pretty particular.
Warm sleeper or lumpy mattress? What's your problem, Darren?
I would say I'm a bit of a warm sleeper, if you're asking. Now I'm being told I sound like Norm MacDonald.
888-957-9570. If you are also a warm sleeper, we'd love to hear from you. We had today our hero, our heckler, come in. It was great to have him in. Alex Biddle came in studio to talk about his Tour de Force performance last night. And a couple of people were saying, why did you seriously have the heckler in? Why not? He was fun. He was fun. He made me laugh last night. Is it okay to laugh at a sporting event, or does it have to be grind to the halt, open heart surgery, no laughing in here, it's only serious at all times? It drives me nuts that people have taken so seriously to sports. You know who should take sports this seriously? The people in it. The people in it. You're just sitting there clapping. You're just a fan. I mean, yeah, you should care about things, and it shouldn't all roll off your back. It doesn't affect me at all. Sports are important. But the amount of people who go out of their way to be miserable for no reason at all. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. I don't understand why so many people want to tell you immediately what offends them. What is that? Where does that desire come from? I need to let you know how offended I am by anything that offends me next, whether big or small, you'll be the first to hear about it.
Don't you get a lot of this on social media, too, where you tweet about something that you are watching because you are entertained by Indiana basketball?
I like it.
Without fail, some joker out there.
Nobody out here cares.
Who cares?
Who cares about your Hoosiers? You're in San Francisco, would you?
Because the internet, what? Has a boundary?
As if your Twitter account somehow is open and interfering in that person's life. I always say, I'm sure whatever device it is that you're following on, I'm sure it has an unfollow button.
On the topic of how easily offended are you, Darren, I just want to show you a picture real quick. I know this doesn't do a lot for you out there in your cars right now driving home because this is an audio medium. But Darren, I'm just going to show you a picture real quick. What'd you see? You probably didn't see much.
Pair of hands?
A pair of hands making what an old lady thought was the sign of the devil. The devil horns. Putting up the devil horns. And this happened in a small, sleepy town in Nebraska. And this woman went right home and started writing her mayor and outrage for everyone. And city council, how dare you on public space allow a sculpture that is so satanic to come forward in a public space, for goodness sakes. Satanism endorsed by the small Nebraska town. What's wrong with you? Again, this woman was very, very offended. They wrote her back after her claiming the hands were anti-Christian, demonic, and completely inappropriate to be placed in front of gardens and a children's zoo. A closer look, Darren, will show you that these are the hands of the Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
These are the web slinger's hands. And like you all know, because you've seen every Spider-Man movie there is, in order for Peter Parker to shoot his webs, he has to, like, press the palm of his hand, which if you do put them next to each other, I guess would create a little bit of a devil horn sensation. If that's all you wanted to see, you would see that. They're Spider-Man's hands, and they are part of a fundraising campaign reaching out warm hands all across the city of Nebraska, and this woman interpreted them instantly as must be a demon because they're red.
So she saw what she wanted to see and voiced exactly what it was that she chose to see in that display. Shocker.
I saw what I wanted to see in that heckler last night. I thought he was funny. He made me laugh. If something makes me laugh, the chances of you being offended by it being on my show the next day, it just means you really haven't been paying attention to how this whole thing works. I mean, really, God bless you. I love that people think that they can order topics now on talk radio a la carte, like menu items. That's not the way this works.
No.
We're not taking requests or shout outs. It's amazing to me what people decide rubs them the wrong way. And I'm telling you, this weekend couldn't come any sooner for some of you. Really, you need to unplug just a little bit.
Life is good. Baseball's compelling. Both sides of the bay. The weather's fantastic. You're cruising into a weekend. If you want to find the miserable aspects of life, it's all there for you.
Yeah, you don't have to look far.
Just like that display with the devil horns right there.
Actually be offended. Here's something that you should actually be offended by. Saw this poll, Darren. You're going to love this. So the topics were offered: astronaut, teacher, musician, professional athlete, vlogger, or YouTuber. That's it. Those five options were the options that were offered.
One more time, please.
Astronaut, teacher, musician, professional athlete, YouTuber, professional internet influencer. And they asked children from China, the United Kingdom, in the United States, rank what you want to be when you grow up. I don't think I have to tell you that astronaut only came in first in China.
China, even as we approach the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
China select children in China, when asked what they wanted to be in these five categories listed: astronaut, teacher, musician, professional athlete, vlogger, YouTuber. In that order, children in the United Kingdom, you could be anything you want in life of these five things: professional athlete, professional musician, astronaut. All, like, I would have checked the, yeah, sign me up for that box. In the United Kingdom and in the United States, vlogger and YouTuber are number one. Vlogger and YouTuber are number one. The most popular answer, about three times more likely to be chosen than astronaut, vlogger or YouTuber is the desired profession among children in the United States when offered influencer, teacher, pro athlete, rock star, or astronaut. They'd rather be on YouTube.
Well, you know, I think what comes with that, though, is, you know, the sense of approval. Like, social media is so much a sense of approval. How many likes did I get? How many followers do I have?
Yeah.
How many friends do I have? Right. That's part of how you measure how somebody's good as a vlogger or as a YouTuber. You don't, you know, if you're an astronaut, you get into a spaceship and you shoot off into the solar system. But some of that has to just be the complete manufactured support that comes with follower counts and likes and all that sort of stuff that comes with vlogging and YouTubing, right?
I think it also comes with a whole bunch of parents in the United Kingdom and the United States who leaned over and told their brand new child how absolutely special you are, little Tristan, and don't you let anyone tell you otherwise. And if you come home with a bad grade, we'll write your teacher a terse note saying, be better to Tristan tomorrow. We'll never ask Tristan to get better. We'll ask the world to conform to Tristan. That's the United States more than anything else these days.
That's babysitting right there.
God.
I can't wait to see how you do it, too. I can't wait to see how much you restrict young little Bruce from any internet activity whatsoever. I'm just going to guess that you're not going to be the parents who just hand over the phone or the iPad
to
the child.
Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. I do not want my entire child's lifeline documented in real time on the internet. And I don't know why any parent would. I really, really don't. It drives me nuts. By the way, speaking of driving, phenomenal. You're really good at this radio thing. There's a bright future for you in this industry. Should you pursue one outside of kicked out, unplugged radio stations that you used to work for?
Yes. Well, thank you.
And on that note, when you promise the audience you must deliver, it's officially time to let you know that a gentleman named Garyant Tomas, he's got a lot of hope of winning the Tour de France, but you know what? When he was supposed to really pedal harder than anyone in stage 12 at the time trial, he was stunningly defeated by Julien Alaphilippe.
Uh-huh.
And he is your stage 12 Tour de France individual time trial leader. They are saying that this is a stunning time trial defeat. Now, as you know, Darren, because you were paying close attention earlier in the week, we said that the city that this takes place in, Pau, is directly connected with steroids and where guys cycle up in the actual race itself. So when you have a no one expected it result the very next day after you cycle into Steroidville, are you confident in that result?
See, I was going to say, I wonder if this impacts the next stage right after. If all of a sudden, like, yep, another record went down today in this stage after everybody pulled into Steroid Town.
Unbelievable. I do love the Tour de France. It is an unbelievable sporting event. I mean, a test of human endurance that is really unlike anything else the world of sports knows. And you can't even really enjoy that just on its surface either. God, sports are so much different now than when we were kids. Really,
yeah.
Lost some innocence. But I don't want to go old man shaking fist at cloud with only 20 seconds left, basically, in today's show. I want to say thank you. Darren, I really mean it. Thank you. An incredible job all week long. I've never seen a very finicky Bay Area radio audience take to someone as quickly as they took to you. I think it's because a lot of people knew who you were to begin with. We have an awful lot of Southern California transplants up here. You fit like a glove, and I look forward to doing this again next week.
Thank you, brother. You made it very, very easy. Thank you to you, your outstanding staff, and the entire team here at 95.7.
To the entire team, we say thank you. Albie, of course, took a three-day weekend. Nash, way to go. We want to thank everyone getting us up and on the air today. Wouldn't be able to do it without all of you. Thank you to our heckler god, Alex Biddle, for coming on in. Thanks to Matt Vescurgeon for joining us today. Have yourself a really good time this weekend. Hey, enjoy the British Open if you want to, because I'm sure we'll bring it up on Monday, so you might as well know what happens. They say it's a slow time of the year, but we continue to pedal fast. That's why we have a Tour de France update for you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please do remember, sports don't build character. No, no, no. They reveal it.
And like that,